Once a wildfire is contained, one of the biggest efforts is to revegetate the area that was burned. Now, researchers at Northern Arizona University have gotten a nearly $1 million federal grant to look at how climate change may affect that work. Claire Aslin is one of those researchers. She's an assistant professor and conservation biologist at NAU. And Claire, what are you going to be using this grant to try to find out?
Our interest is in how we can select species to plant after a major disturbance has happened on the landscape. So especially something like a fire that takes out a large amount of vegetation in a large area. If we don't do anything, frequently we find that there's a lot of erosion and a lot of incursion by invasive species into those sites. So there's a desire frequently to go in and restore by planting various plants, especially natives, into the area. But one thing that we are concerned about is trying to plan for the future and the fact that through climate change, we expect that what might do well in a particular area today isn't necessarily what's going to do well there in 40 or 50 years. So our goal is to use experimentation to determine which species are likely to do well for a long time so that we can go in and plant and restore, and we know that we're using our resources as effectively as possible.
It sounds like you're trying to future-proof these ecosystems against whatever might be coming down the road.
Exactly. We're doing our best using the best available predictions that we have, which of course are not perfect, but we're trying to think through the different types of impacts that these individual plants might experience going forward.
Well, so how do you do that? I mean, how do you take the models that you have and models that others have come up with for how climate change might affect a given ecosystem and try to determine, okay, if this is the way it's going to be, this type of plant might work, or if that is how it might be in the future, that is the plant that we should be able to use?
Yeah, you know, some of it is just trying to take advantage of what we have available to us and taking advantage then of some pretty general predictions, like an individual location is likely to become warmer. So if we are trying to test whether a plant will do well, we could move it lower in elevation to where it's warmer now and see if it still does well. And in many cases, that's sort of guesswork. We're kind of saying, well, let's see how these particular species do. So for this particular study, we've selected 15 species that we know occur over a wide range all across northern Arizona, southern Utah, and northern New Mexico primarily. And then the final piece to this is that we are concerned about those species that it might interact with once it arrives at that location. So we are also tracking whether or not it gets visited by pollinators once it's been outplanted into different sites and what diversity of pollinators are interacting with it at that location.
Well, so you're not just trying to make Flagstaff, for example, or parts of other parts of northern Arizona look more like the deserts of Phoenix and Tucson with heat and drought-tolerant plants. Are you trying to maintain some kind of semblance of what the ecosystem has looked like to some degree?
That's a great question and a great point. Yes, absolutely. So the species that we are specifically looking at are those that already have large ranges, and therefore we know that we can find them today in Flagstaff, for example, but we can also find them in Prescott, and we can find them in Cottonwood, and we can find them in Moab. And so they're really wide-ranging anyway. And our interest is, well, how much does it matter if you pull seed from a very particular place? How attuned is that particular seed to that location? If it doesn't have a lot of attunement, if it's pretty broad in its requirements and it does pretty well in many locations, then once it's planted out, does it grow well? Does it produce a lot of flowers? Does it get a lot of pollinators? And if so, then we can say this is a good candidate for a species that's likely to have wide tolerance to changing conditions and likely to be able to interact with key species wherever it ends up.
You mentioned you have a handful, maybe a little more than a handful of species that you're going to be testing. Can you tell me some of those that you're looking at?
Sure. It is a wide range. And right now we're kind of just beginning to test whether we can get sufficient seed for each of these. But some of the ones we're looking at include globe mallow, for example, a penstemon. We have snakeweed, rabbit brush. These are native species that are pretty widespread. They're common.
And when you look at the kinds of plants that you might be able to use, I would imagine you also have to look at how they do in terms of trying to prevent erosion and, as you said, repopulate, you know, some of the areas so that it's not just totally devegetated after a fire, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. We want them to be able to grow readily and to produce flowers fairly readily, but we also don't want them to then complete their life cycle and die right away. So we are hoping for perennials that will be in place for a while that help to stabilize the soil. Many of these create large taproots so they can dig down and they can get water, so we won't have to maintain them with water. We are looking for a range of flower types and colors and sizes so that we can also serve a diversity of pollinators in any particular site. So that's gone into our considerations as well.
How long a term prospect do you think this is? I mean, at what point do you think you might be able to say, okay, you know, in this type of environment, if a fire comes through northern Arizona, this is how we should be changing how we are and what we are planting to try to revegetate the area?
Yeah, so much of that is based on the models that we have where we can predict the rate of climate change in the region. I would say at this point, we feel like we have a pretty solid idea of how things are going to go over the next several decades, which is nice because we put these plants in, they can hold the soil, they can maintain some of those community relationships with pollinators, et cetera, and then other species will naturally colonize. But it may very well be that if you go back to the same site in 100 years, things look quite different. I would expect so.
Claire Aslin is a conservation biologist at Northern Arizona University.